What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Junks listeners. We have the Junks coming to you on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980 as well. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Just go to cropmetcalf.com. If you want info on how to become one of their five-star technicians, you got a three-man Junks show getting you through on this open line Thursday. 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes, where you find me on the Twitter. Joined by John Paul Flame.
What's up, Cakesy?
Hello. Good morning to you. And Eric Bickle.
Hey, buddy. How's my professional poker player buddy doing?
Well, I mean, if I knew a professional poker player that's sitting in the room with you, I guess I would answer. I'm a very casual, semi-pro poker player, though my schedule has resembled that of a professional poker player this week.
You're giving me updates? I know you had a little min cash in one, and you're close to maybe min cashing in another one today. Possibly
secured min cash in the event I went to National Harbor to finish yesterday morning.
Right.
And so that was good. Put $750 in my pocket. That
nice.
Never hurts. And then I jumped into the high roller event that started at 2 p.m.
Right.
And it was, I'll be honest, it was a tale of two pretty specific halves of the evening.
Were you on a heater at one point?
I was on a mega heater.
At the beginning?
Early.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I should have been knocked out of the tournament like in the first two levels because I got all the chips in with a big pocket pair with pocket kings against two other guys. Guy flopped a set on me, a set of threes.
Yeah.
So he had three threes to my two kings, which is not great when you have two cards to go. Somehow I drilled the last king in the deck on the river and knocked two guys out.
Wow.
So I built a big stack early.
Yeah.
Big one. So I take a dinner break. I go, I'm nursing the stack. Everything's going well. It's just swimmingly. Come back after dinner. Had a great dinner at Voltaggio.
Nice.
Went and hung out. Had a steak.
Did you go with some?
Had a margarita.
Some other guys? Or you
one of the guys that I know whose room I crashed in last night because I didn't really do a lot of planning.
Yeah.
Heading into yesterday. He was like, dude, if you need a place, just here's a room key. Crash with me tonight if you need it. I'm like, okay, I'll take you up on that. Because other than like sleeping in my car or sleeping in the couch in the green room here, those are my options at that point.
There were no rooms available?
No, I tried to pull the strings. Couldn't do it last minute. But I found a place to stay. So I was good. So I come back from dinner. Sit down in my seat. Now at my table is a dude named Joe McKeon. For those who don't know who Joe McKeon is, he's a former World Series of Poker main event champion. Go look him up and see what his winnings are in poker. Like, it's well north of $10 million.
Right.
He's a professional poker player. He's basically a wizard. He's the only guy that's out chipping me at the table coming back from dinner, coming back from the dinner break.
He's probably licking his chops, too, looking at your stack.
No, because when I came back from dinner, my stack was good.
Right.
My stack was like 250, 260. Right. It was a good stack.
Right, but he didn't know who you were.
He's like, I don't know that guy. Whatever.
Yeah. You
know,
I'm taking those chips.
I've never played with that guy before.
Right.
So I'm thinking in my brain, I'm like, you just got to avoid Joe McKeon. He's the one real threat at the table.
Right.
Don't get into a big pot with Joe McKeon. Right. Was in the back of my brain.
Yeah.
But also in the back of my brain was, don't be a big giant P word.
Exactly. Play your game.
He's a human just like you are.
Right.
Everybody's getting the same run of cards, you would think. So what do you think happens? I get involved in a big hand with Joe McKeon like 30 minutes
and you had
after
a decent,
the dinner
you had a decent hand?
I had pocket nines.
Mm-hmm.
He raises before me. I know this is Poker Geek. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible.
I like it.
He acts before me. He raises. I look down. I'm like, oh, I have pocket nines. It's a good hand. I can't just call his bet, though.
So this is pre-flop.
Pre-flop. I have to raise him, figure out where I'm at. So I raise him. Not an outrageous amount, but to show him that I'm not just going to
lay down.
Flat call his raise. I raise him. He calls me. I'm like, all right. I don't really know exactly what he has, but he could have two decent. I'm putting him on like two decent overcards. Jack 10, King Queen, Ace 10, something like that. Flop comes out. It's a dream flop for pocket nines.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, brick, like a 10. Two threes and a 10.
Mm-hmm.
He checks it to me. I bet. He calls. Turn comes another blank, but it's an undercard to nines. It's like an 8.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is beautiful. This is like,
right.
Like pocket nines, you're always worried. Okay,
you got an overpair, you're
gonna
feeling
be,
good.
There's going to be aces coming out, kings coming out, queens coming out. The entire board runs out, undercards to pocket nines.
Mm-hmm. Rare.
Like, all right, I kind of like where I'm sitting here.
But if he has pocket tens, jacks, queens, kings,
those,
aces, done.
But I figured he would have re-raised me pre-flop if he has one of those big hands.
Right.
But he could have slow played whatever.
In. Yeah.
So he puts out a river bet of $60,000.
And which that's is how much of your stack?
That's a significant chunk of my stack at this point. It's probably 25-30% of my stack. So I'm like, I'm looking at the board. I'm like, all I'm doing is convincing myself that I have the best hand. I'm like, pocket nines has to be the best hand. Now, there's a basic tenet in poker that goes like this. Don't go broke with one pair.
Yeah.
Even if it's pocket aces or pocket kings, don't go broke with a pair.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Because he could have two pair, he could have three of a kind.
Yeah.
So
what do you have, ace 10?
I hem and haw. I'm like, he's just trying to move me. He's trying to bully me out of the pot.
Yeah.
I was like, he's trying to bully me out of the pot. He doesn't know me. He's never played with me. He thinks I'm just going to lay my hand down. So he puts out 60K. I cut out 60K in chips, and I'm just thinking about it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have the best hand. I put it in. He flips over.
3, 4 or something.
How about pocket threes? He flopped quad threes on me and just milked me the entire time.
Right.
By the way, the percentages of flopping quads in poker, you care to guess what it is?
0.1%.
You're right. You're all over it. 0.2%. 0.2%. So that cut a leg out from me. cut my stack in half. The most ironic part about it, as soon as the hand was over, one of the floor personnel comes over to our table. Because at that point they're juggling like how the tables are set up.
They moved him or moved you?
No. They came and moved me immediately after the hand was over. I was just thinking to myself,
could you have been here one hand earlier?
You couldn't have come here five minutes ago and moved me before I made an ass of myself.
What are you gonna do? Cooler. That's a cooler.
Yeah, it's a cooler. So then I went to the next table and I've never been more card dead over probably a two and a half hour span. Can't get anything going, spinning my wheels, chips are just dwindling. And I'm just looking for a spot to get my chips in, try to double up. Anything. Just can't do it. And then I eventually bagged at the end with like 10 big blinds. So I'm coming back today at 1 o'clock and I'm gonna see if I can make miracles happen.
Busy week at MGM playing poker.
It's been a very busy week.
You don't look like you had fun. This is what I don't get. Every time I've ever watched Cakes, and he does enjoy playing poker, but every time I've seen him play poker or even talk about poker, he looks miserable. I don't get it. It's a weird thing.
Here's why.
And when I played poker recently,
you
know, my wife and her girlfriends went to that Dancing with the Stars show.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys didn't go to the show. We gambled a little bit. I sat down at a poker table. Everybody looked miserable.
Yeah, because they're just playing their own little sort of mental gymnastics in their head. And they, you know, they're entertaining themselves. They might look miserable, but they're entertaining themselves.
Trying to.
I get it.
You're trying to just stay dialed in on what's happening at the table. Like, you're not there to just...
To do shtick.
To make friends with a bunch of people. You're there to try to take people's money.
Right.
Like, that is the first and foremost.
Right.
I'm trying to take people's money. They're trying to take my money. Like,
he doesn't care to be social. He's not over there to make friends. That's a great point.
I understand you're not there to be social, but it's even the way Cakes was driving. Now he was talking about a bad beat.
Now, also,
he looked miserable.
Also, I probably look miserable because A, I got very little fitful sleep. Okay. B, I didn't bring anything for an overnight stay. I haven't brushed my teeth. No deodorant. Oh. I'm funky. Like,
oh, your butt is so dirty.
Oh,
right now.
I'm so dirty.
And
right
by
now.
The way,
oh, so dirty.
The guy
butt.
Who you had dinner with and gave you his room.
Yes, Chris. Very good dude. Nice
Chris
guy.
Is a saint because
he's very
Cakes
nice.
Is a horrendous sleeper.
Oh, let me just.
Did you snore?
Let me say this.
Like that one night I shared a room with you.
I love
because
Chris.
Because Chris probably would have booted you out.
No, I love Chris. He's very nice.
He snores louder than you.
He was snoring like a bear.
Oh my God.
And I'll give him credit. He told me, he's like, dude, he's like, you're welcome to stay with me, but I do snore. And I responded, look, you know, we're birds of a feather. I snore too. But problem was, he got to the snoring before I did. I'm just lying there in the bed, in the queen bed next to him, putting a pillow over my ear, anything to try to stop the snoring. And I'm just tossing and turning. Thinking about just getting cooler.
So after the show snoring. Today, you're racing over there. What time do they?
Well, not racing. Like the restart.
He said one.
Restarts at one. Okay. So I think I probably should go to like CVS, get some toothpaste.
Right.
Get a toothbrush.
Maybe get some dude wipes.
Maybe some deodorant. You know, I'm going to need to find a new shirt or a hoodie because I can't go back wearing the same exact clothes as I wore yesterday.
Right.
I would just look like a vagrant.
Yeah.
So
looks like you changed your beanie, though.
I did change my beanie.
See?
I have spare beanies in my backpack. So I did change the beanie.
I recognize the shirt from yesterday. Now that you bring it up, I don't know that I would have thought about it.
Yeah, sure.
I was like, yeah, he did kind of wear that
pants,
shirt yesterday.
Underwear, all the same. Because I didn't think to bring a change of clothes.
But he didn't have any extra toothpaste? You just put it on your finger.
Well, I didn't think about that at 4:50 in the morning. I just got up. Made sure I didn't lose anything.
What about
anything.
Last night when you went to bed?
Oh, no, I just went straight to bed. Because I went to bed at like 1:20. It was late.
EB, give him a breath test.
No. You don't want, trust me, you don't want to come anywhere near this mouth. Because right. It's probably funky.
Right.
Stay far, far away. That'd be my advice to you.
Yeah, but it's also $750 richer.
That is true.
Jelly.
That's true.
A little extra pocket change.
So put some scratch in my pocket, so that's always good. All right, we've got a big open line Thursday. You're welcome to call us throughout the show, 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor. Listener line coming up. Here are your guests that are scheduled. Joel Corey, former sports agent and writer for CBS. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. And John Fanta, national college basketball broadcaster and writer for Fox Sports. He'll be on the show with us coming up at 9 right here on the Junks. Don't forget, you could win an ultimate tournament trip to Las Vegas just by listening to 106.7 The Fan. This is an amazing prize, so listen up if you haven't heard about this yet. Win a trip for you and three friends during the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. That includes flights, hotel, and $20,000 in spending money, too. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and casino. You've seen it before. It's baller. Las Vegas's premier sports viewing destination. And you'll visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Here's how you get signed up. You download the free Odyssey app if you haven't done that yet. Listen to The Fan for at least 1 hour. Then listen tomorrow for at least an hour for another entry. It's Odyssey's Slam Dunk in Vegas national contest. For more intel on it, go to odyssey.com/slamdunk.
It's an awesome contest, but every time you read it, I think about this. I've never, and I never will, and I'm guessing you've never, and never will, and I'm guessing everybody related to the show, been to a swim party in Vegas.
I have not. That is correct.
We've all been to Vegas, but now, it's just not our scene.
But Stadium Swim does look awesome with the big, giant, like, I mean,
yes.
It looks like Jumbotron screens.
Yeah, it's like hundreds. What it's reminiscent of?
Yeah.
It's an adult, but younger than us.
Yes.
Version of the wave pool at Wild World when we were growing up.
Yes. If that wave pool included hotties everywhere, gambling on sports, and private cabanas where you could just hang out all day.
Bingo. Instead, we had lockers and arcade machines not that far away.
That's correct.
But we didn't have at least many hotties and cabanas and that sort of life.
Yeah. So go to odyssey.com/slamdunk and you can get in the mix for that. Perhaps Anthony Rendon from the Angels, maybe he could go to Stadium Swim, because it doesn't sound like he's going to be playing for the Angels anytime soon. Here's one of the latest headlines. Anthony Rendon's latest setback cements his contract as an all-time Angels misstep. Mm. He's entering the sixth year of a seven-year, $245 million deal signed ahead of the 2020 COVID-shortened season. Now, he appeared in 52 out of 60 games that year.
Mm-hmm. So it was good.
Okay, that's fine. That's a good number. He hasn't topped 58 games in any of the four seasons since.
Right. And also, he's done a lot of bitching and complaining. He's been suspended for a few, like, brawls.
Didn't he snap? He snapped at a fan.
Snapped at a fan in Oakland.
That was a couple years ago.
I think another big thing is when he's on the field, mm-hmm. when he's played. When he was here in Washington, he was an excellent player. He was an all-star.
Yeah. Oh, he was like an MVP candidate.
You know, he was a guy who'd give you close to 30 home runs every season, hit around 300, tons of doubles. He's got 24 home runs in 5 years.
Well, so he's like hitting like 200.
Yeah.
He's just, and he's bitching about there's too many games. Remember he did that podcast last year, just set me off. I mean, well, how big is his contract? They give him like $200
million? $245 million.
Yeah. You don't get the, when they pay you $245 million, you can't complain about how many games there are. You just can't.
He was on record saying like this is a job for him.
Yeah.
Like he does. You know.
He's miserable. He's been thinking about retiring for 10 years.
Like it doesn't trump his family. This is a job for him.
Which is fair.
Yeah. You understand that, but you also kind of really internalize that.
He's basically saying baseball isn't that important to me. It's clearly not my top priority.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Yeah. It's just embarrassing. Like, don't you have any professional pride, dude? And then, I guess what's most irritating about this is, I guess he had an oblique injury toward the end of last year. And then now all of a sudden, sort of out of nowhere, he's getting hip surgery that could cause him to miss the entire season, which could spell, honestly, the end of his career.
Hip surgery is no joke.
No joke. Trust me. My mother had it. Now she's 88. She's a little
slightly different situation.
A little different. But, it's no joke. I don't know. I'm so infuriated by his nonchalance. He had a nonchalance about him when he was here. That was kind of his MO. But at least he performed.
But I just
God,
remember,
he's annoying.
I just remember Mike Rizzo, like, talking about his character, and he was, like, like a quiet guy, but he seemed like he was, like, super dedicated and was into baseball, That does not seem to be the case since he left.
When he was drafted, he played at Rice.
That's correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember him falling to the Nationals because there were injury concerns. And then I felt like it was a steal by Rizzo because he was seemingly healthy through the first part of his career. And then I guess I don't know. What I'm saying is I don't know if the injuries at Rice were real or not.
I have no idea. I'll never forget, since we've had rights to the Nats, we've for a long time had a relationship with their general manager, their mm-hmm. managers.
Yep.
And Davey Johnson, we got a kick out of him 15 years or so ago, right? When Davey was on the show every year and we would meet him for spring training and have dinner. He pointed out Anthony Rendon. We were at a little restaurant. See that guy over there? That's Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
He's going to be a star.
It was like a dark Italian restaurant. I remember like it was yesterday. Rendon was sitting with, I don't know if it was his wife or his girlfriend and maybe one other person like kind of off to the side.
He's a quiet guy.
And we just didn't know much about him at that point.
Yeah. And he said, that guy over there, he's a stud. Can't wait to get him up here. You're going to hear all about him. And I couldn't believe it. Like, I didn't even know who he was talking about. and he ends up being this stud. But somewhere along the way, he just got jaded, just not into it.
I guess. Maybe the money, like getting all that guaranteed money just...
Seems like it has affected him.
I don't know, man. It's
I'm sure he's a good...
Not a good legacy that he's leaving in L.A.
I'm sure he's a good family man. I'm sure he loves his kids
and all that. As far as being a productive baseball player, the Angels, they wish they could go back in time and not signed him to that deal.
I know, but how could you if you're the Angels? You see this kid who has so much upside.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
You would have never thought that contract would have been such a poison pill.
Right.
No. It's so funny because the Nats are kind of associated. Now, luckily, they didn't pay this, but they're associated with so many bad contracts. You know, the Stras deal.
Corbin,
who, by the way, I just looked up. Corbin, I believe, is still a free agent. So I'm surprised someone hasn't picked him up, you know, some sort of minimum size. He's still a lefty. Come in relief for you.
Not that surprised based on his record.
Pitched a little bit better, but lefties are hard to come by. I am kind of surprised. So Stras, Corbin, now while they were here with the Nats, and then Rendon. I think there's like one or two others that are kind of like epic contracts from Nats players or former Nats players that have just kind of blown up in everybody's faces. It's just too bad. And for whatever reason, the Rendon thing in particular really irks me.
It just rankles you.
It really irks me. Corbin, at least, would go out there. He'd go out there every 5 days. Yeah. Didn't matter if he gave up 10 runs or if he had a rare good outing.
Yeah.
He didn't care. And he even, to his credit, said afterwards he loved every moment that he was here in D.C.
And he mowed his own lawn.
Yeah,
pal, Chris Farley caught him mowing his lawn.
I still find it weird. I still find that bizarre.
He's a regular guy. Likes to tee it up. Likes to play a little baseball. Made some good coin. you know, Corbin, I never had any real hostility towards. But man, since Rendon's left, he's become super annoying. Kind of root against him.
It's definitely annoying to you because it's weird because he no longer even plays for the Nats. Hasn't played for the Nats for years, and it's still just...
He's in his sixth year of his seven-year deal.
I know. It's wild.
So, I mean, even if he comes back...
If I were the Angels...
I mean, it's pretty much over.
If I were the Angels, seriously, I would say, you know what? Go get surgery. And if you want to come back, come back. But if you don't want to come back, screw you. Here's all your money. Just go do whatever you want to do with the rest of your life. Just get out of our lives.
You're so toxic that we'd rather pay you to stay away.
If you're the Angels, are you really expecting anything out of Anthony Rendon in year seven of a deal where he basically is lucky to play 50-plus games in a season?
I don't know if this is allowed, but can you just give him all the money and the rest of his contract? And
just sign him a check.
Yeah, and say, you know, thank you for your service. Goodbye.
Right.
I mean, if I own the team, I don't want my trainers and everybody dealing with his injuries and surgeries and everything
and,
like that.
And you know what? He can even still use the team facilities. Just we're not going to count on you to be part of the lineup ever. Mm. Like you can't rely on the guy.
Yeah.
You can't rely on a guy who's going to play in 55 games out of 162.
Right.
Like.
It almost feels like he swindled them out of their contract.
Oh yeah, totally.
I think that's why, Eric, you have so much animosity towards them.
Just his indifference. It just like, you know,
like he scammed them almost.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he did it. If it was a calculated thing, maybe it was. Maybe the guy just has been so jaded for a long time. I mean, even when he was here, I don't think I've ever seen a guy look more nonchalant at the plate. No, he was dynamite when he was
here.
It
would be like if we signed a big, massive radio deal, which I know is not going to happen.
Yeah.
But just say like...
That ship sailed.
Say we went back in time, like into the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
And we signed a huge, guaranteed radio deal where we agree to come in 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And then like a month or two in, we just say, you know what? We're just going to come in Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to take the
best of
Wednesday through Friday. The rest of it, we're going to take it off because we have a guaranteed deal. Mm-hmm. Like we're just not going to come in for those days because we just don't feel like doing it. You know? That's kind of what it is.
Just to play devil's advocate for a second, what if he's trying to be on the field and he just keeps getting hurt?
I mean, it's possible. It's always possible.
That is possible, but I'm going to guess now, again, he's an accomplished athlete. Okay, This is a chubby guy, like shake his fist at him. I've never done anything athletic in my life. Maybe he just isn't trying that hard anymore. Because he's come out and said, baseball just isn't that important to me.
Well, he says he's been thinking about retiring for 10 years.
he's got to be Mr. Glass at this point.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of someone that you can't rely on, you might not be able to rely on Bilal Coulibaly. Did you see yesterday's line?
I did not.
Poor guy.
They even had overtime for him to stat pad.
36 minutes, 3 points. Oh. 1 for 8 from the field.
Well, Jordan Poole's jacking up 40 shots.
Yeah, but that's the Jordan Poole you thought that we got.
Yes, I thought that that's what we were going to see more on a regular basis last year.
More important, they're back to their losing ways.
They're definitely back to their losing ways.
They had a weird was it a three-game heater?
The three-game heater, and then like two other games where they played pretty close.
Yeah, they had a three-game sizzler, and now they're back to doing wizardy things.
I mean, they actually had a big lead at the half. I was watching a little of it. I was like, are they going to beat the Pacers? Because the Pacers are actually pretty decent.
By the way,
the 30 and 23.
Now, let me just say this. This is an aside. I know I always get painted as the guy who loves every new uniform and every new uniform tweak. And I actually do like the Wizards City Edition, which you guys are both wearing. You and Drab both wearing.
We have different sweatshirts.
They're different.
They gave me that one.
Okay. They're different, but they're not that different.
Yeah, they're
not
pretty similar. They're the same color.
I saw the Pacers City Edition uniforms, and it was on the big screen in the Grand Ballroom at MGM.
You hate them?
I wanted to throw a beer bottle at the screen because they were so gross and so offensive.
Mm.
I actually,
the ones that just say indie?
I actually hated those uniforms, which is, for me, is a rarity. Usually I gobble up the new stuff that the teams trot out.
Did you see the white ones or the black ones? Were there the white ones or the black ones?
I just know with the weird, big, like, blue Indy splashed across the jersey. Hated it. Not a fan.
I think what you see with the Wizards is these young guys compete.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a lot of ups and downs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Bilal I know he's not a rookie, but he's in that group of guys that are going to have up and downs. Plus, he's not a great shooter. So he went 1 for 8. You know, he's going to score a lot of his points in the open floor. And if a team shuts that down and he's got to shoot jumpers, they will take that. So Sarr's come back. He had 9 points. Jordan Poole scored 42. Brogdon had 12. Like, if they're going to win, it's because the vets. But here's what happens in their games. And we saw this on Friday night when we did the all-cast. When it gets to crunch time, the other teams, if they're better, that's when they pull away, because the Pacers outscored them 36-23 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Washington had a 13-point lead. I think it was a 13-point lead at the half. So it dissipated.
Yeah, they just don't have a lot of closers outside of, like, Jordan Poole. Like, that's this team's version of the close-it-out guy.
He took 15 threes, nailed 6.
As you mentioned, I was surprised that they brought Sarr back, you know, kind of before the break. I thought they might hold him out until after the break. But
I was interested. I didn't stay up to watch it and watch 1 second of it, but I read the recaps. I was interested to see Luka's second game with the Lakers.
Did he do a little bit better than that first one?
No. They played the Jazz in back-to-back appearances, right? So they beat them, and Jazz are horrible.
Yeah, they're bad.
They're horrible. They're 13-40. They beat them in the first game. You know, we saw some of these highlight assists from Luka and all that stuff. And there were some interesting comments from the coach of the Jazz.
Whoever that person is.
I think it's Will Hardy.
Okay.
And it almost sounded like he was like, we're not worried about Luka. Now, he's got a terrible team.
Yeah.
So he's probably not so worried about it. But I think that in the first matchup, they went right at him 5 straight times on defense. And just reading the recap, he was minus 19 in the plus minus yesterday. Now, everybody was terrible. LeBron was minus 10. They obviously lost 131-119. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it works out, because Luka is basically a ball handler point guard. Well, that's really what LeBron is. And Austin Reeves is kind of that way, too. So they're going to have to figure out their offense their defense.
You kind of forget that Rui's there, but he's having a solid season. Hell, he's shooting 43% from threes.
Hey, take a look at the career high in the box score. Bronny James, 9 points.
Oh, did he? He had a breakout? Good for him.
3 for 4 from the field, 2 for 3 from beyond the arc. So his 3-point percentage is skyrocketing. Yeah.
What was it? 9%. Then I think it was at 11. What's it at now for the season?
Oh, I didn't check the updated percentage.
Oh, now it's at up to 23%.
Yeah, I mean, if you go 2 for 3 and you were, you know, down below double digits, it's got to shoot up.
I have to say, I root for him.
I kind of do, too.
I root for him. I feel bad for him. Even though he's got all the money in the world and all that, but I just, for some reason, I feel bad for him.
And we,
in his dad's shadow.
A lot of people like picking on him, and we've picked on him, but like Michael Jordan's kids never made it to the NBA. Yeah. Now, I understand some people are saying, well, he shouldn't be in the NBA,
yeah,
but he just put up 9 points in an NBA game.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's garbage time.
Kicks hated.
I mean, it's.
But think of the pressure he's had.
I don't root against him. I just think it's funny he gets all this pub and this run because he's LeBron's kid.
Well, most of the run is horrible. I actually am rooting for him. I hope he can find to be a legitimate role player in the league, not just there because your dad's there. Like, earn a role player position in the league. I root for that for him.
I mean, I get that his dad obviously is biased. But he also knows basketball more than anybody. And he said, hey, the guy could fit in.
Yeah. We'll see. Right, so far, it's been a disaster.
Yeah, but it has been great.
But hopefully he progresses.
Don't forget, it's an open line Thursday. You can always call us at 800-636-1067. Presented by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows, they're measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. We'll be right back. All right, so I went to college at the very reputable, it's now Towson University.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be Towson State University.
Just dumped the state.
I guess they feel like it fancies it up by getting the state out of it.
Salisbury
did the same thing. I don't know why people feel like state is a negative connotation, but whatever. Yeah. So we didn't have big time athletics. Now, we had a good hoops team when I was there, but mm-hmm. we didn't have a big football team.
You guys always have a good lacrosse team.
Yep. But there was never like court storming mm-hmm. at Towson. Like, it just didn't have, to my recollection, it didn't happen. But like, if you go to like a Big Ten school or an SEC school, sometimes there's court storming. Like,
of course,
when the Terps beat Purdue, was it last year or 2 years ago? My daughter was just distraught that she wasn't there to be part of the court storming at Xfinity. It was like a big deal. Like, Purdue's ranked number one. Terps upset them. I think they were number one. They were top three. But it was a big deal. And she was at home. She's like, oh, I didn't get to be part of the court storming. And I was like, court storming? I guess it's kind of fun. I guess it's fun if you're drunk.
You know,
we did it once or twice.
We didn't do it for one football game in Maryland. I think it was against UVA at night.
I can't remember.
I think it was. It was. UVA
I was with
at night,
you.
And
it's
Sean
fun.
Moore, I think, was the quarterback at the time.
Should pull off an upset?
I guess it could be fun if you're a college student. You've had 10 beers at Valdez's tailgate beforehand.
Football field storming greater than sign court storming.
I think so.
Because the win's bigger. Because in college basketball, there's so much more parity, I feel.
Yeah.
I think too much is made. All these people that want to shut it down, too much is made. How many guys have actually gotten hurt? I know it's happened.
Yeah.
I know you can point to one or two, but they're always like, oh, it's so dangerous.
Why? Well, did something happen last night?
Alabama's, I can't remember who the guy that got hurt last
Alabama's
year.
Alabama's athletic director, whose name is Greg Byrne, he's proposed a radical solution for court storming.
All right.
His fix is, if you storm the field or the court, you forfeit the game immediately on the spot.
Why is he so rick about it?
Well, because I guess that there have been issues in the SEC with court and field storming, and there are
kind of the charm
there are punishments in place,
though,
like if you storm the field or the court in the SEC.
Yeah,
but I guess these teams and, you know, these universities, they have so much dough, so their pockets are deep enough where they can stroke a $100K check or $250,000 check if you storm the field.
Let me say this.
He wants to end it.
I like court storming when it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there'll be very mild upsets.
That's when it's embarrassing.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
that's true.
What's the big deal there? But let's say you're Towson.
Yeah.
All right. And you take one of those games where they pay you.
Like, guaranteed.
You're going to play Auburn.
Right.
Bruce Pearl scheduled you.
Yeah.
You're going to play the number one team in the country. And you're going to play at Towson for some reason set it up.
I mean, that would never happen, but sure. Yeah.
And then you pulled off this incredible upset.
Okay.
They should be able to storm the court.
Then it makes sense.
Right.
But, I mean, that's such an outlandish scenario where a number one team is going to come play at Towson. And then,
okay, my point is,
a pro Towson crowd to storm the court.
There are times when you pull off a great upset.
Understood.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't remember EB saying it's a Virginia game, whatever.
Pretty sure.
I think I stormed the court once. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember why. If it's a big time upset, I think it merits a court storm.
Right.
Now, if you're a power and maybe you're down and you happen to be less ranked than the other team,
here's a
lot of court storming, I think, happens because they're on TV.
Didn't the fans rush the field at CQ Field when the Terps beat Southern California this past season?
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous because they weren't ranked. They weren't ranked.
But like
their justification was it was like a awesome game, like a huge
comeback
right. slash win, improbable win.
Yeah.
So that's the reasoning for it. That's also become a reason for students to do it.
Is what?
Is that, to be honest, students are looking for a reason to rush whatever.
Sure, of course.
They think it's a part of their college experience.
Right.
That's also part of the problem. It's not a guaranteed thing when you're in college. You get the opportunity to storm a court or field.
Like, of all the list of problems in college athletics, it's got to be down at the bottom of the list.
Well, that doesn't mean you can't take care of it.
But why should it go away? It's not that big a deal.
It's not a big deal for, like, Duke has to. This happens every time Duke plays a game.
Every time they lose.
Every time Duke loses, like, this is why it's news, because John Shire was saying the other day that it was an extremely unsafe environment for his kids. When you have students running up to the Duke players and pushing them the second the game's over, like, they don't mind. They want to get the players off the field before you do all that nonsense, which I can kind of agree with. By the way, Caitlin Clark, remember, got hurt last year. She fell on the ground. The kid, the sport's biggest star, got ran over on a court storming.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think she missed any games.
Okay, I know, but it's because the tragedy hasn't happened yet. Doesn't mean it's not a good
That's
idea.
Fair. I just kind of enjoy it. And I think a forfeiture would be extreme. Like, let's say you are that team that, you know, let's say you're ranked 60th or whatever. And you take on one of the top mm-hmm. five teams in the country. You're an underdog by 15 points before the game. And somehow you pull off an upset.
Mm-hmm.
And your students storm the court. And then you lose the game. Sorry, that coach would mm-hmm. be distraught.
Yeah. I can't work up faux enthusiasm either way on this one. I can't.
You're ambivalent on court storming.
But the AD's right. It would stop immediately. If you really wanted to stop, forfeit the game.
But I think Valdez is right. It is almost kind of a rite of passage as a student, especially at a big school. You know, we have big time athletics. It's kind of fun to do that.
I know, like, but you're not always guaranteed. You're not always guaranteed to do that.
Well, no, of course not.
I know. But
maybe in your 4 years, you get an opportunity or two where you can storm the court. I'm not saying every year. I'm not saying every game, you know.
No, but it's gotten to that point.
It's gotten out of hand. The bozos at ASU, God love them, delayed the game like an hour this past football season because 10,000 people were on the field and the game wasn't over yet.
Hey, right. When I was in college, we acted like we'd been there before. When we got a big hoops win over like Ryder or Lafayette or Lehigh, we didn't storm the court.
Right.
Come on. We expected to beat those teams.
No, but as Wizards fans, wouldn't you hate to see Cooper Flagg have a knee injury because some student bumps into him and then all of a sudden is not really the same player that he was because of a court storming against Clemson?
I think it's a little bit of a stretch.
Well, I'm just saying these players have huge futures ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And it could definitely be derailed. I mean, that's why John Shire said he pushed one of the kids out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's like not necessarily coming to hurt Cooper, but you see some kid running towards your superstar.
Yeah, you try to protect your kids.
Yeah, but if you want to go that far, I could play that out. Well, then why have fans at all? Because a fan could just run onto the court and stab a player, right?
I mean, sure.
Happened to Monica Seles.
That definitely could happen at some point.
Well, that could be a lot more controlled than 20,000 students running onto a 90-foot court.
I would just point to the history. You can point to a couple of incidents where people have been knocked over, but I don't think there's been a situation where anybody has suffered some sort of serious injury.
I mean, I don't know. I don't pay attention enough to know if it's like something that's happening on the daily at all these places. Maybe you need to curtail it. My experience was it happened a few times.
And it's fun.
It's kind of fun. Sometimes it's embarrassing. Like you said, you beat Clemson or something.
Yeah, just, right. You got to pick the right spot. You got to make it appropriate.
Right. Yeah. Save it for when You beat UNC and they're number one in the country.
Make it a big deal.
Right.
Okay.
Beat USC in football. Yeah. Maybe a couple years ago when they were really good.
If they're like ranked top five or top 10 and you upset them, okay. I can understand the field storming. But when they're like a 500 team.
Remember that game when Piggy overthrew the kid in the end zone?
The Ohio State game. Yeah,
Ohio State game, and we had pulled that off.
The game that almost killed Urban Meyer.
That would have been deserving.
That would have been worthy of you.
Oh, that one is worthy.
Right.
Had they beaten Ohio State that day, that was worthy.
So you don't want some rule that you can't storm the court.
That guy was wide open.
Poor Piggy. We're going to remember that play for 30 years. Because they're never going to beat Ohio State. Like, that's it.
Not when they're relevant.
That was it.
Not when they're relevant.
Urban Meyer was having like an aneurysm on the sideline that whole game.
He was doubled over for 90% of the game. Piggy had the guy, I can't remember the receiver, but he was wide freaking open in the end zone.
Yeah.
He had to just deliver a pass. He's made 1,000 times.
Yeah.
By the way, I think that guy had quite the college football odyssey. Look at how many teams he played for in college.
After he left Maryland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy made the rounds.
Did he end up at like Howard or something?
I don't know where. I'd have to look it up.
I think he was in some... might have been FIU or FAU. Then he was also in Western Kentucky. Then I think he was also somewhere on the West Coast, like Fresno State or something.
I'm telling you.
By the way,
he was everywhere.
Trap, have you been following this? Valdez, maybe you have. Cooper was telling me that this past weekend, my daughter's boyfriend was saying that the NCAA is close, or they're seriously discussing just getting rid of all this like fifth year, sixth year stuff. You get 5 years. You could compete all five,
okay.
But they're getting rid of all the medical red shirts, all the craziness,
and you just
get 5 years. And you could do whatever you want. And so some kids will play 5 years,
okay.
if they want. Have you heard about that? He was telling me like that was really close, potentially.
I don't know how close it is, but I know that is something that they're discussing.
They've been discussing, yeah. Because he's hoping, you know, if they get it in another year or so, he could graduate from Cornell and play a fifth year somewhere.
Yeah.
Taints the record books.
Who taint record books?
Yep. Drab loves records. He's a purist.
I feel that way about baseball in particular. The other sports, I don't care. I don't know.
I don't know if I could tell you one college record. I'd have to really think about it.
Good luck.
Tyrone Pigram had Jayshon Jones wide open in the end zone.
He was a stud.
That's
he was
right. Ohio State survived 52-51 winners.
I still remember. I'll never forget him sailing that pass, or just an errant pass that went to the side of Jones. Oh, it would have been a huge win. All right, when we come back, we're going to tell you why you won't believe why your company is going to pay you to stay home for some of your personal time off. Maybe it's why Jason isn't here today.
Mm.
We'll get into
Doubtful.
We'll get into that next here on The Fan.